Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane, Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Give us a call. Send a text, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Very excited to have our next guest joining us. He is not only a maple syrup producer here in Wisconsin, he also lives in one of my favorite places where I've never been, Amory, Wisconsin. Rick Glenna is our guest from Glenna Farms. Good morning, Rick. Thank you so very much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, let's talk a little bit about your background and how did you get into maple syrup production? Was this a family business? Is this something when you were a small boy, you said, I want to grow up and do
it
maple syrup?
It was not. I was actually a corporate guy in downtown. I was a corporate guy in downtown Minneapolis and got bored with that. So I decided to become a farmer. So my wife and I purchased this piece of property 30 years ago, and it was supposed to be a hobby, but it got a little out of control. So I had an ultimatum. Either the corporate job had to go or the farm had to go. Well, the farm won. So here we are today, 30 years later, with maple syrup operation, a retail store, and working 7 days a week. But I'll tell you, it's a lot more fun and much better than that corporate gig.
That's so interesting that you say that, Rick. And I think for a lot of folks, we assume, you know, once you get into the C-suite in the big building and, you know, for the big company, life is cake and everything is good. But the switch from a corporate life to starting a farm, what kind of culture shock was that just for your system?
Well, for me, it wasn't bad because I grew up on a dairy farm. So I was used to it. And, you know, when you're in your 20s, the corporate gets kind of glamorous. You get to travel. You get to dress in nice suits. You get to go to fancy dinners. But it all gets old after a while. And there's nothing like being out in the country.
And being outside, I would imagine. What made you focus on maple syrup production specifically? Was there something that spoke to you more about that as opposed to your background in dairy?
That would not have been one of the first things that came to mind when I was 20 years old, but my dad has the dairy farm right next door to me here. And the person that he purchased that dairy farm from also owned this maple syrup operation. So when he retired and my father purchased that dairy farm, that gentleman continued to make the maple syrup. Well, then he decided he wanted to sell it. So my dad gives me a call and I'm sitting in my office in Minneapolis and he says, why don't you buy that maple syrup farm next to me? And I said, Dad, come on. I said, one thing, I don't know a maple tree from a telephone post to start with. And we had our first baby on the way and we were building a new house. I said, I'm not even sure I can take on any more debt right now. And he goes, don't worry about it. I'll help you. I'll help you out if anything goes wrong. I said, well, if I go bankrupt, this is on you. But you know, it was the best decision we ever made. So we started out with just a few taps. As I said, it got a little out of control and, you know, it's just a much better lifestyle than sitting in that desk at the, downtown Minneapolis. Here you're out fresh air, stretching your legs, working your muscles. So it's been a fun ride.
Rick Glenna is our guest from Glenna Farms, and they are going to be hosting the first tree tapping is going to be this Saturday, right, Rick?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep, the Wisconsin Maple Producers Association, Wisconsin. And so we were fortunate enough to be selected as the host this year. So that event will kick off at 10 a.m. on Saturday. And we will have Alice in Dairyland here. She will be doing one of the first ceremonial tappings. So we'll have some local politicians that we'll be mingling with. So we'll be doing the tapping. We'll be doing the proclamation of Maple Month as proclaimed by the governor. And then we'll be doing a tour of the farm as well, followed up by tasting of some fresh maple syrup over vanilla ice cream.
That sounds really terrible. No, that sounds wonderful.
Well, Waukesha to here is only, what, 4 hours?
We can make it, Greg.
I'm already in my car.
We can make it. We can make it up there by 10 a.m. on Saturday. If you want to go, and this is a free event, Rick, that's open to anybody.
This is a free event. That is, and it is open to the public. And it'll probably go from 10 until about, I'd say about noon, but the events kick off at 10 with the tree tapping and the festivities.
Greg, when you were first considering this and your father suggested that you buy this maple tree farm, I want to know how tough a sell this was to your wife.
It wasn't that hard because she comes from a farming background as well. Her father was a Christmas tree grower for many, many years. So it was not a hard sell whatsoever.
So it's not like she was a city kid and she's like, I am totally not moving to a farm ever.
No. So we did not move here. We stayed in Minneapolis. My wife is still a sales rep in the Twin Cities. So we were always, I had just commuted back and forth. So from my driveway, just out of St. Paul to here was about 60 minutes. So we did that. I did that for probably 28 years.
Oh,
the last
wow.
couple of years, we've gotten a little bit closer. So, she still got her city fixed, but then we could get to the country on the weekends.
That's nice. That's really
fantastic.
Nice. Yeah, it is a nice little balance there. What has been, we talked about this a little bit earlier, that this has been the warmest winter that Wisconsin has ever recorded. And this really does affect maple trees. It affects many different things in Wisconsin, but especially when you can tap and when the syrup starts running, right?
Right, yeah. So this year, so this is our 30th year, and I was just looking back at our history. We've tapped our trees, I think, two other times in the month of February. Traditionally, we will tap our trees right around the first month of March, but we have done it a couple of times in February. But this year was exceptionally early. I was actually in Mexico late January and early February working on my tan. And one of my daughters came up to me and says, Dad, did you realize that it's 60 degrees back in Wisconsin? I go, oh my gosh, I should get the first flight back out of here. I should be back working.
Oh no.
So it has been unique, but luckily, even though it's been warm, we've had a nice fluctuation of temperature here over the last two or three weeks. So we've had a pretty good flow, and we've made approximately about 70% of our normal crop.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so we're pleased, and it looks like the 10 to 15 day forecast looks pretty favorable. With we have a little bit of a warm stretch here for the next couple of days, but then it's supposed to be lows in the 20s with highs in the 30s to 40s. So we should be good. That should get us that last 30%, and cross our fingers, even maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, I was just checking the forecast for Amory, and it's, 61 today and 65 tomorrow, and then you're going to be back into the 40s, and things are going to moderate a little bit, so get a little more back to normal, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I've heard that they said the last half of March for our part of the state here is supposed to be back to more normal temperatures, which is typically, I think, right around a high in the 40s, low 40s with, lows that night in that 25 to 32 degree range. So,
if you're just joining us, Rick Glenna is our guest from Glenna Farms, and they are hosting the first tree tapping. It's going to happen this Saturday from 10 until about noon. They have an 80 acre farm in my wonderful place I've never been, Amory, Wisconsin. I have this vision in my head, Rick, of Amory being this beautiful, bucolic, perfect, wonderful place, and it is one of my goals that we get the show up there so I can actually have that confirmed. So here's your chance to talk all good things Amory.
Well, I'll tell you, this part of Northwest Wisconsin is absolutely beautiful. Not only do we have all these big maple trees and hardwoods, but there's several just marquee lakes around here for not only for people to have cabins, but also for fishing and recreational sports. You know, we have Hayward just north of us here, Rice Lake to the east of us here. So there's a few good sized towns, but it's close enough to Minneapolis, St. Paul. So if you need to run in to get something, or if you need to get to the airport. So that makes this area very popular, especially for people, cabins on the lakes, which in turn is very conducive to having a successful retail store, because these people are always looking for fun things that Wisconsin offers, not only our maple syrup, but the spotted cow and the cheese, of course, all the good things that Wisconsin has to offer.
That just sounds like lunch to me. Beer, cheese, and syrup. I don't know.
What more do
you doctor doesn't like it, but what does she know? She's just a doctor.
We're having a little glitchy connection with Rick. Are you there, Rick?
Yep, sorry about that. I thought I had a good connection here, but I apologize. I saw that we just kind of went blank there for a second.
We just got a little lag time, I think. We only have a couple of minutes left, Rick. For people who don't appreciate just how long it takes to make a gallon of maple syrup, can you just share how many gallons of sap you're talking about to make 1 gallon of syrup?
Yeah, so it varies from farm to farm and depending on the type of trees that you have. We are fortunate enough on this piece of property to have hard, what they call hard sugar maples. And the reason they are called sugar maples is because the content of the sugar in the sap is higher than other maples. So we can produce a gallon of maple syrup on approximately 35 gallons of sap. So that means you got to collect 35 gallons of sap and then you need to boil it or run it through your reverse osmosis machine to get rid of those 34 gallons of excess water. So it is a very time consuming and a laborious job, but the end result is it's excellent.
Well, make sure if you're up in that area, you should absolutely stop by this Saturday, the first tree tapping at Glenna Farms in Amory, kicking off the 2024 Wisconsin Maple Month. Rick, in case you ever need a quality control team for maple syrup, Greg and I are available for
Calvin,
you.
Calvin, come too.
Calvin can come, and we will just make sure that the syrup is of the highest quality.
We are always looking for help. Unfortunately, the pay is not very good, but so all the maple syrup you can handle.
That works.
Done.
That works for us. Rick Glenna from Glenna Farms, thank you so very much for joining us. I hope you have a great event on Saturday. Thanks again. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always call, you can always text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. There's always a separate party going on over there.
I know.
On Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. And we have a new email. Much easier to remember if you ever have a guest you would like to suggest or a topic you would like us to cover or something happening in your community. Like we just talked to Rick Glenna from Amory, and we have all kinds of time and people that we love to highlight. So if there's something happening wherever you live in Hayward or Eau Claire or Oshkosh, doesn't matter. You can send an email to Jane Says, all one word, Jane, J-A-N-E, Says, S-A-Y-S, at civicmedia.us. Coming up in just a little bit, very excited to have Julie Rice and Becky Rost. They are going to be joining us in studio from PFLAG Waukesha, and they're going to be celebrating their first anniversary. I believe it is this week. We'll learn more about that and what it is that PFLAG does.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Why it's important, especially if you have someone who is in the LGBTQ plus community.
Mm-hmm.
It's for family members, parents, grandparents. So yeah. The lady's going to be joining us in just a couple of minutes, so stay tuned for that. Wanted to remind you also, Bucks tonight at the Kings late game, 8:30. You can catch it on Homegrown Radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, and on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS in Oshkosh. We were talking before Rick Glenna joined us, we were talking about the complete MAGA takeover of the Republican National Committee.
Yeah.
They fired 60 people, almost 100 people. I saw something this morning that said that they have now moved the location of the RNC to Miami Beach.
Of course.
To Miami Beach. So that it's that much easier, I don't know, to control where the money for the RNC goes. Jack from Merrimack sent us a text that we didn't have a chance to get to earlier. We were comparing Hunter Biden's laptop and all the hoo-ha over that as opposed to things we actually know the Trump family has done. And Jack says the crime family, yeah, accuse the other side of that of which you are guilty. That was Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's Ministry of Propaganda. The MAGAs have learned well from their mentors. Incidentally, that also applies to the Biden is too old lie. If anything, Trump is suffering from dementia-related emotional problems, leading him to anger and making threats. Again, that's Jack from Merrimack.
I mean, is he too old? I wouldn't call that a lie. I'd say maybe, yeah, I think he's a little too old to be president myself. I think it would have been great to have had somebody else. But if he's going to run against anybody, Trump, I'm glad he's running against Biden.
Absolutely.
Because Biden's the strongest.
Absolutely.
And people are still talking about that State of the Union address. The life and the strength that he brought and just the humor.
He went off script. He ad-libbed.
I've been watching State of the Unions for a while, and I can't remember a time when it was a like parliament where like boos happen. I mean, you get the crossing of the arms and the crotchety look like, right. I don't like what you're talking about. But right. Like now it just sounds like parliament and it's like boo.
Yeah. We've lost all sense of decorum now.
Yeah.
We really have. And we can thank MAGA. We can thank the MAGAs for that.
They are the Republican Party now. If you don't like it, you can get out of Miami Beach.
Get out of my party. Get out of my party. Something else we spoke about briefly, and I heard it yesterday on Todd Alba's show when I was heading home. The difference between these two men, Donald Trump and Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Donald Trump held a campaign rally over the weekend, and he started off by mocking President Biden's stutter.
Which is not the first time.
That's so kind. And it's such a, what a wonderful way to, I don't know, endear people and just insult your opponent. So that's Donald Trump's tag, is to insult people and punch down, essentially. And then Todd played a clip from an appearance that Joe Biden made when he was still campaigning for president. And a man brought his son, who was maybe about 8 or 9, to meet President Biden because his son also stutters.
Yeah.
And as President Biden was going along the line and shaking hands and everything, and the man said, "This is my son, and he also stutters, and he really wanted to meet you," Joe Biden took 5 minutes to talk to this little boy. And "You are going to be fine, man. You're smart. You can do this. Get me your phone number. I talk to a bunch of stutterers, and I check in with them.
Yeah.
I have all kinds of tips I can share with you on how I managed to control my stutter." He talked about what it's like to be bullied and people who bully people with a stutter. I started crying. I did. I got all teary just because of the humanity of this man who is, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to take the time to do that.
No.
He didn't. He was a kid. I don't need your vote. You can't vote for me.
And just to be clear, 5 minutes of the president of the United States time is a lot of time. That's a lot.
Well, he was running at that point, but even so, as a candidate.
But still,
to take that time.
That's what you call a role model.
Yes.
And it goes back to what I asked the question yesterday. If you are a member of the GOP, a Republican, a conservative, however you identify, if you are to the right, I would like you to make it make sense to me why you would allow your children to see this kind of behavior from a man who clearly does not, and when I say a man, I mean Donald Trump, why you think that kind of behavior is okay. wouldn't we all agree that President of the United States of America is a job of a role model? We're supposed to, your kids are supposed to want to be president one day. And you want your kids to see this man who mocks others.
And punches down.
Punches down.
He always punches down.
And loves it because the people love it. Tell me why you think that's okay. Why do you like it? And tell me why little kids should see this. And why it's okay.
And emulate this.
Yeah.
And emulate this. This is the way you want your children to grow up.
Because I'm pretty sure that, you know, your parents probably taught you to be respectful and kind to people. And if they didn't, that's a whole other problem.
Well, and that brings up something else. And we're in the process of trying to track down a psychologist or a social behaviorist. Mm-hmm. I want to learn about the environment that helps create bullies and what helps make a bully. Because I have my own theories about it. I think bullies are raised in bully households. I think they're bullied as children.
Yeah. And they're scared.
In their own homes.
And they're scared.
And they take that out into the world because they're afraid and they want to prove their dominance.
It's how they communicate emotion.
So we'll be talking more about this as time goes on. We have news on the way next. When we return, we're going to learn about PFLAG Waukesha. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us if you want to call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon has ruined. We're really happy to have our next guests in our studio with us. And I found out about you from a woman who had had emailed me and said, you need to talk to these people. They're coming up on their first anniversary in Waukesha. So I am delighted to welcome Julie Rice and Becky Rost from PFLAG Waukesha. Thank you so much for both being here. How are you?
Very nice to have it.
Words are hard. We find this
take
all,
two.
Words are tricky words.
Thank you so much for inviting us to be here. We are really pleased. PFLAG Waukesha, you're right. We're celebrating our first anniversary. We formed officially about a year ago. We are a chapter from the national organization, and PFLAG National is the oldest organization in the United States that supports LGBTQIA folks, their family, friends, and allies.
Why is this important? Why is PFLAG necessary?
PFLAG is necessary because being part of the LGBTQIA community is being a part of being human. It's a normal, natural expression of human, just being human. We do not teach this, and that is to our detriment. There is so much more to being human than being black and white, being binary. And LGBTQIA people have existed all throughout the centuries. And it is time that they are accepted and not marginalized anymore.
If you are, especially for, say, a parent or a grandparent of someone in the LGBTQ plus community, who is older, it's got to be difficult to find a place to go to learn and to talk to people who are in similar situations. And I'm assuming that PFLAG kind of provides that space.
Yes, we meet people wherever they are. we have resources available for them to help them understand what it is that they did not learn, for them to lovingly accept their loved one, even though they may not totally understand. It's a place where they can come and talk about their feelings. And there are many feelings that parents and grandparents face. There's shock. There's maybe disappointment because they thought they did something wrong. Or they think that it is a choice and their children are making bad choices and they are afraid. This is a place where you can come and you can talk about all of those feelings. All feelings are valid and everyone is supported wherever they are.
So if I'm a parent who is very distraught about my son coming out, say, and I come to PFLAG, I can be honest and tell you what I'm conflicted about, and we can have a discussion about it, right? Instead of you saying, no, this is, you know, boom, this is what you have to believe and you're out.
Absolutely, they can come and talk about whatever it is that they're feeling, because I know for myself, I did not immediately accept what my LGBTQIA children. I had to go through a process of relearning, understanding what it means to love unconditionally. I have had to grow, and that required people helping me along the way. If I had people who were there telling me, no, you can't have those feelings, you can't believe that, I would not be where I am right now. And I'm in a very good place right now, understanding and accepting and unconditionally loving my kids.
You have to be able to, I think, in order to learn, you have to be able to go somewhere and be honest. Even if these aren't going to be necessarily popular, this is not going to be popular, but until you can discuss it with other people, you don't learn anything.
No, you don't.
Our guests are Julie Rice and Becky Ross. They are from PFLAG Waukesha. They're on the board of directors, and they're celebrating their first anniversary on March 14th as a local organization. Julie, you had alluded to a little bit your own experience. Will you share what that was with your kids?
Yeah. So when my youngest came out as lesbian, I felt like there was this pit in the bottom of my stomach that my world had fallen apart. And it was hard. And I tried to keep these feelings from her. And I pretty much ignored the topic.
I'm going to ignore it. I'll pretend this isn't so.
Right. When another child came out as transgender, I realized I couldn't ignore this anymore. And I ended up finding online support groups. And it was through these online support group that I learned, by talking with other moms, mostly moms, what it meant to accept your child. And there was a whole lot of re-educating that I had to do. And that's where I also learned about PFLAG. And then a lot of these moms were local in their local PFLAG chapters, working in their communities to try and help LGBTQIA people not be so marginalized. And when the school board in Waukesha started taking away signage, safe space signage, yep, and limiting the conversation, what was going on, limiting the conversation about being LGBTQ, I know that this conversation was really very important for my youngest daughter, who was the one to first come out. And to think that she would not have that other people would not have that support, made me very, very angry. And then I realized there was a whole bunch of parents in our community that needed some sort of local support.
You need somewhere to go. You need somewhere to talk to people. Sometimes I think people don't get things straight in their heads until they can speak them out loud, right? You have all these thoughts bouncing around in there, and it's only until you can finally articulate them and have some discussion about it that helps you learn.
Yeah. Now, PFLAG is a wonderful organization. I've been to pride parades and events all over the country, and one of my favorite groups to see marching are members of PFLAG because they are proud mamas and daddies and papa and grandpas and grandmas and all. And they are so excited to be there for their loved ones. And I love to see that Waukesha has one, but you are in Waukesha and there is, you know, it's, what kind of pushback have you gotten at any at all about being in Waukesha, which, you know, I mean, there he is. That's exactly what I was expecting. Cause we're in Waukesha City, as some of my family members would call it, the liberal part of Waukesha.
Oh, we're in the liberal part.
Yeah,
of
we are the liberal part. But being in Waukesha has to, may, I might be assuming too much, presents challenges for a chapter of PFLAG.
Surprisingly enough, we have been wonderfully accepted.
That makes me, as a Waukesha, born and raised here, schooled here, lived half my life here, that makes me so happy to know that.
I firmly believe that there are more people in Waukesha who support the LGBTQIA population than don't. Yeah. I think it is a vocal minority that you're hearing. Mm-hmm. Sadly, they are the ones that have power yep. positions.
Yep. Yeah.
We also did get, we were harassed by a Christian nationalist, a local Christian nationalist group that tried to shut us down. They came and disrupted our meetings. They came to our annual picnic over at Frame Park and harassed us for the entire 3-hour duration, constant, just coming at us saying, I want to talk to you, I want to talk to you, I want to talk to you. Did not matter what we said, that we weren't interested. They didn't yeah. care if we told them this was a private event and they were not invited. They basically were forcing themselves upon us to talk about their version. We had the one of the pastors got on a, I don't think he was on a bullhorn, but he had a nope. megaphone.
A little speaker.
Yeah, oh. yeah.
And he was berating us for accepting our children, and he called one of we had four pastors in this at this picnic, four ordained pastors,
yeah.
and he's calling one of them a Judas priest, and
I mean, what a was, burn.
I know, what a burn. And it was crazy. It was absolutely yeah. crazy. And it was traumatic. And the police were there and they could not do anything because there's nothing in our city ordinances that says that a group cannot harass another group.
Wow.
Except if they were actually on the property mm-hmm. of what we had rented.
Right.
So one kid put his foot on the edge of the pavement and I asked him to remove his foot. And he said, I dare you to. I believe so strongly in what I'm doing. You can have me arrested. And I thought, well, that's a real waste of my time because I'm just here having a picnic with my friends. And I don't really want to do this. I want to just enjoy the picnic as much as I can.
If you're just joining us, Julie Royce and Becky Rost are our guests. They are on the board of directors for PFLAG Waukesha, which is celebrating its first birthday on March 14th. All right, Becky, we're moving this over to you. No worries. It's just a conversation. Tell us about your journey a little bit.
I actually started the GSA at my school with a couple of my friends when I was in high school.
Tell the audience what that means.
Gay Straight Alliance.
Thank you.
So our school didn't have anything that, you know, allowed any kind of safe space. So we created one. And then after high school, I went on with my life. And my friend that started it with me, he decided to move to D.C. and fight for LGBTQIA+ rights. And life kind of went on. And then all of a sudden, the stuff with the school district started happening. And I just couldn't sit there anymore. It was like, all right, I have to get back into the fight. Especially my oldest is trans. So I figured, okay, well, this is my time to start fighting again for not only what I believe, but now for my kids. And me being the giant mama bear that I am, I was not going to let the school district harm my kids in any way. So I started seeking out groups in the area that I could get involved with, and PFLAG Waukesha just so happened to just form, and so I got connected with Julie, and she's like, well, do you want to be on the board? And I was like,
sure.
I guess.
If people would like to find out more, if they would like to attend your first birthday celebration, is there a website that they can check out, or what? Where can they go for more information?
We are just beginning to have a website, so the best information, or the best way to get information is to contact me at info@pflagwaukesha.org, and that's pflagwaukesha.org.
We will include that in our show notes.
Absolutely.
Afterwards, if you would like to find out more and get in touch with PFLAG, you have your work cut out for you. It's going to be a very challenging year as we go forward, but I think you're providing such a valuable, valuable community meeting place and for people to go learn things.
And our next meeting is this Thursday. It is at the Waukesha Public Library. The library has been one of our biggest supporters and allies, and they've been so welcoming to us. It is a wonderful resource for the entire community.
Julie Rice and Becky Rost, board members on PFLAG Waukesha, thank you so very much for coming in studio and joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you feel like that's what you want to do, because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof, because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth, because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is you. Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you from downtown Waukesha. You can always call or text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And thank you. Shout out to Hayward this morning. Listening on WBZH, The Buzz of
also,
the North.
Just, I meant to do it and I forgot to. I apologize. Well, I felt like we had a guest, so I didn't want to do it and make him go, what was that? Amory.
My favorite place I've never been. One of my favorite places I've never been.
Yeah. I got to say, the live stream folks, you quiet today.
They have lives.
We are their lives.
No, we are not their lives.
Oh, whatever.
But I mean, again, I seriously, if you want some company,
Go to
the live stream.
Go to our live stream.
On Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And join the live stream, and you'll have lots of company, and I think you'll have fun. Thank you to our guests who just joined us in studio, Julie Rice and Becky Rost from PFLAG Waukesha, talking about their organization approaching their one-year anniversary. The thing, I guess, that makes me worry now is that Julie had mentioned how wonderful the Waukesha Public Library has been to their organization, which to me just says that they're going to be the library now is going to get targeted. I don't want to happen.
They've been around for a year. The library has been helping them. And if they got a problem with it, I'll go walk my took us over there and take care of it.
They are right down the street.
They are right over here, and it's a good library, and good on the library for helping and supporting them. And I swear to all the good and holy, if people are going to the library to give them a problem, I'll walk over there and be like, hi, can I help you with something?
You are visually accosting.
Yeah. And also, I don't take guff. I'm not a guff taker,
no,
Jane.
No, he is not a guff taker.
And I'm petty. I'm a non-guff taker and a petty. It's a bad combination.
Look out.
Like that kid was like, in the previous segment where they're talking about like, oh, I'll get arrested. Oh, I'll make sure you get arrested.
Well, and I think that's interesting. That, and if you missed the discussion we were having, PFLAG had a picnic last year at Frame Park.
Yep.
They were being protested by a church, which I'm pretty sure is in Brookfield, because we talked to
probably
we talked to a reporter who had been following that story.
Yep.
And who was involved in all of that. And so there were protesters at this PFLAG picnic, And the one kid put his foot over the line where he could be arrested. And he said, oh, yeah, do it. Bring it. Well, yeah. that's a win.
Yep.
You give them a win when you do that.
And when they say something like when you know, it was Julie, he said, I just want to talk to you. I just want to talk. No, you don't. You don't want to talk to us. You don't care about us. You want to make a scene. You want the reaction. And you want to feel like you win. You don't win.
Well, and that's the thing too, Greg, and we've talked about this off the air many times. We do want to hear the other side. We do want to make this a discussion, but a discussion is one thing. A rant mm-hmm. is something else.
Making someone feel uncomfortable for being who they are is, that's not, that the person who does that, I don't care about their opinion and what they want to quote unquote talk to me about. It's just not, it's not in my self-interest.
Well, if there was going to be some back and forth in this conversation and here's what I think and here's why I think it's bad and then, you know, now here's your opportunity to explain your situation, but I don't think that happens.
No.
There is a big resistance on one side to just proselytize.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, they don't care about these individuals because they think less than. They like the president, they want to punch down.
Former.
They want to feel...
Former president.
What did I say?
Former president.
Yeah, former president. Punch down. They want to feel superior, and they all want to do it in the name of something bigger. And last time I checked, their guy was kind of about love and acceptance last time I checked.
Well, again, we've talked about this too, though. They're much more Old Testament smitey kind of. We like the smitey stuff.
I want them smote.
All right, we're going to talk quickly about the Laughing Tap.
What's that?
The Laughing Tap, the comedy club that Greg Bach co-owns.
What?
It's on wonderful entertainment. So who have we got coming up this weekend?
Mike Kaplan.
That sounds very familiar.
He's been on a late show with James Corden. He's done Just for Laughs, RIP Just for Laughs. And he is possibly one of the smartest comedians I've ever seen in my life. What he does, I've seen him in the past, is he'll take what seems like a bevy or a hodgepodge of topics and talk about them for about 45 minutes.
Okay.
And in that last like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, he will weave them all together in a essentially like a summation. But it's funny from start to finish.
That's really difficult to do.
It's very difficult. He is very, very smart. He is very, very fun. Very, very funny. Tickets are still available. LaughingTap.com. One show Friday, two on Saturday. $22 online, $25 at the door. No drink minimums.
Such a deal.
And it's going to be a great, great affordable night for y'all. Just come on down, see truly one of... I've never seen a comic... Like, nowadays, we live in a time where comics want hecklers. Well, not all of them do.
Some like a little back and forth with the audience, though, right?
To put online, to get those follows, to get those likes, to get that engagement... Mike handles hecklers in a way that is so good where he'll be like, I'm sorry, this is my time now. We're not talking. You're not talking.
It's not you.
This is my time. This is my time to talk, and you can talk later, but right now this is not about you, so I want you to stop talking. And they stop talking because he addresses it with such speed and accuracy and just intelligence, and he leaves no room. Like a lot of times, like people will keep talking, like, nope, you're done.
Yeah, you got to cut him off at the knees. You really do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And if you're going to go to a comedy show and you're inclined to yell out things because you think you're funnier than the comic.
Or you think you're helping.
You're not.
You're not. And I want to.
You're not.
We have very little time left. I'm just going to say that. Jane is exactly right. If you watch TikTok, if you watch Instagram, you see a lot of comics doing back and forth with hecklers, with talkers, and audiences now think that's what you do. That is not what you do.
No.
I would say 99% of comics out there do not like this. They want to just be able to do their set. They want you to laugh and enjoy, or don't laugh and enjoy. I can't tell you what to like. But going there with the intention of talking to them is not helpful. It's not respectful. People paid money to listen to someone on stage talk. Not you.
Not you. Exactly. Go back to the office and be the funniest guy in the office.
Yeah, which is a horrible title.
Thank you to all our guests who joined us today. Julie Rice and Becky Rost from PFLAG. We had Pat Kreitlow from Up North Radio and Rick Glenna from Glenna Farms. Thank you, Calvin and Greg, for making the show happen. Thank you to all of you for calling and for texting and for listening. It means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay close. News is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.